Please ask.
So may I ask? Thank you very much, Martin. This was really inspiring, really interesting. I was a little surprised, and this is a question that I never thought of before, that you concluded that there is no evidence that for a semantic distinction between the so-called low and high numerals. And I was just wondering if you so how much you've searched and what kind of phenomena have you been looking for? I mean, I've just thought about one potential difference, and maybe this is a different kind of thing, but adverbs like roughly will probably be difficult to combine with low numerals. I tried to search in the corpus, and you get things like roughly two, roughly three, but those usually are connected with some measure units like roughly 2 minutes, roughly 2 weeks. Those things that you can actually reconceptualize as a not as 2 units, but as larger chunks of some according to some along some dimension. And but maybe of course there could be a different reason why roughly doesn't like to combine with these, and maybe it's empirically not correct in the first place. So I this is more general question. So roughly is one example, I would be interested in the kinds of phenomena that you looked for, a semantic difference between low and high numerals, such that you concluded that there is no difference semantic.
Yeah, thanks. That's a very cool question. So first of all, so I haven't talked about it much, so maybe that was too my maybe that was it's just like so definitely there are differences between different kinds of numerals. So one semantic difference. So one semantic difference that comes to mind immediately is the difference between so-called round numerals and those that are not round. So say 10 or 50 and 3 or 47. When you say there were 50 students in the class, then the granularity level is different. So if there were only 49 or there were 51, then it's like it would be judged true. But if you say there were 49 students and in fact there were 48, then it wouldn't be judged true. So there are differences that are recognized like that. So thought about it, but I was looking more into things like so if that's the case, say about if we're talking about Slavic numerals, right? So and people would say, well, you have actually different structures, or maybe people like I don't know Krijsman or Janin Matuszanski would argue that high numerals are actually some kind of measure construction in disguise and so on. And then I was trying to come up with whether if you compare those with like genuine measure constructions or vague quantifiers that seem to behave like that, then they don't pattern like with them. So for example, one thing in Polish you can do, it's also I think I'm not sure. In English I think sum, right? If you have the quantifier sum, it's not good with distributive each, right? So you cannot have the boys have some apples each, right? So apparently that's bad. And in Polish you cannot also you can't do it with vague quantifiers such as dużo and mało, like a lot or little. And so if higher numerals were like those guys, you would expect you could not say in Polish like the boys have five apples each, because you cannot say the boys have many apples each in Polish at least. But that's not the case, right? So this kind of so I was think I was looking at those kind of things and trying to see whether there's any it's like good reason, like to say that actually, actually semantically, high numerals are more like many or much or something like that, like a measure quantifier. I don't know whether I answered your question or.
Yes, so to the extent that you've mentioned one example of what you've been looking for, so given that there is there should be a systematic relationship between syntax and semantics, if you see a very different syntax, you sort of would expect different semantics, and it's very surprising that there is none. So it's like the question is, why does the grammar care if not for meaning?
So I might add another example. So some people sort of suggest that I think that that's for the for BCS numerals, that there's this, so that some are classifier constructions and the others are not. But again, I mean, it might very well be what you say, that you have a different derivation, that and you will at the end you will end up with the very same semantics, but the way how you get it step by step is different. That might be the case, but as far as I know, there's no it hasn't been demonstrated that, well, see, you know, here's an interesting difference that suggests that you have a, you know, you start from a different meaning, and what you do in the course of how of derivation is something else. So I mean, yeah, I mean that's.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question and the answer. Are there some more questions? I have one, so I'd like to ask. It was not sort of involved in the talk, but I'm wondering if your model could somehow explain, or if it is relevant for explaining that there are languages in which we can make the transition from mass nouns to, Martin is lost now. Okay, so just a moment if he will come back. Okay, so I use this moment instead for announcing the next week's lecture, and I hope still that Martin will come back. Okay, I can see him. So
I'm sorry again. It's just like it.
I'm sorry, Martin. I just wanted to announce the talk for the next week, and then I will ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
If possible. Sorry for this. There is a lecture of David Mareček and other people from UFAL on interpretation of neural networks. So it's just the announcement for the next week. I will send the invitation via email. And now back for the question. Martin, I wanted to ask if your model can be applied to or can give answers to the question that there are languages, including Czech, in which we can go from mass nouns to be used as countable nouns. I mean, this like wine, and I buy three wines in Czech when I simply add plural. So I'm just wondering if there is any explanation
So what I have presented as is gives no direct explanation, but it would be a straightforward extension actually. So those kind of things have been studied a lot, and it is also possible to go in the opposite direction. So you could say something like v tomto salátu je ryba, že when you use a count noun, but you actually you're not meaning, you know, it's like an object, is you mean some kind of, you know, it's like food or whatever, right? So you can go in both directions, and what you would need in a system like mine is basically to find a way to implement certain findings that other people before me have made, or certain proposals. And one way of doing that would say, well, hey, there is some kind of operation that gives you something like a substance, something mass-like, like say wine, right? And you make a portion, and that portion has a glass of wine or a liter of wine or whatever, and that portion has similar properties to objects. So you might probably want to, at some point, you might want to alter a little bit what's required or whatnot, but that's one way of doing it. So you would say, actually, what you're doing, you're counting units of measurement, and those units of measurement are like objects. But I think that's not the best way to do it, because there are some reasons. We don't have much time, so I'm not going to start that. But one reason to believe that measure units or container nouns are different than count nouns that refer to objects is that, so if you spilled wine on a table and there are two drops of wine and each of those drops is 1.5 milliliters big, right? So in total, you have 3 milliliters of wine, despite the fact you have two drops of wine, right? And you could not say that there are three objects on the table. You could say there are 3 milliliters on the table. So it seems that in this construction, integrity is not important. So it might suggest that the first answer I gave you, that would say, well, it's very easy, is actually it's easy, but you actually lose an important difference. So most probably what you need is actually some kind of a different mechanism, and I have at this point, I have no idea what this different mechanism would exactly look like. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So if I got it right, so the first possibility is, in fact, to suppose there is an elision of the measurement units and... Okay.
Yeah, something like that. And actually, sorry. Yeah, I told you she'll come to monkey around. Yeah. And actually, there are some... So one way of thinking about it is, in classifier languages, you use a numeral, then a classifier, then a noun. But if you use a measure unit, you do not use a classifier. So it seems that, so you would say 3 piece books, like meaning 3 books, but with wine, you would say 3 liters wine, and you wouldn't say 3 piece liters wine. So that would suggest that actually those measure units are this kind of, can be viewed as this kind of something that is not pronounced in expressions such as 2 wines, but it's somehow it's semantically is there in one way or another. Yeah.
Thank you. So I can see Andre.
I actually have a question. It's totally unrelated to what you just presented in this in the formal sense, but it's like a sidetrack, because I was just curious whether someone is also approaching the same goals as you are with the stochastic approach. So you have provided this new classification, so to say, based on which you can then define the properties that are required for counting. And I was wondering whether someone would be simply collecting data of either taking one language and then all the possible numeral expressions from a corpus, or going across languages and then predicting behavior for held out expressions within language or cross-linguistically. So a stochastic approach, because I think that it's very important to have like a formal and solid theory behind, but whenever you come to practice, it will like you will run into all the counter examples.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would, if you would also complement this theory with the stochastic approach, that jointly would maybe be a better ground for explanation and prediction of what is allowed and what is not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you're totally right. So I could, you know, I could, of course, I've presented, you know, the part of the story that fits neatly into what I talk about, but I know so what I've done is actually I've run a corpus study on proportional quantifiers, so things like half and part and whatnot and quarter, and in Polish we have this Kasu fix, which is different than, so we have połówka, like, which is different than Pulka in Czech, and I've done that. So my first step was to try to come up with just like whether you could see a different pattern in how those kind of guys are used. But it turns out that this kind of data is sort of tricky. What you can easily determine is certain distributional properties, right? So you will see that, for example, certain expressions are, you don't find attested uses in Polish you can say połowina, like half wine, right? But you cannot say połówka wina, right? So it's like this is sort of, and you don't find the attested uses like that. So distributional properties are very easy, and they give you a very, very great insights about the nature of those kind of things. But then there's this step which I fear would be slightly problematic, because in many cases those are very subtle semantic differences, and it's very hard to get those differences without some kind of elicitation procedure in which you would try to consult native speakers and ask them, could you use it in this context, in this situation? Could you use it in this situation, right? You might have a hint that, okay, you're probably, there should be a difference, but at least for the things I'm interested in, I really can't see. I mean, it's like you probably should do what you say is right, like at some point, right? Like as I sort of did in not a very, you know, it's like it wasn't a robust study, but it did help me to understand certain things. But then at some point you would like to have certain judgments about the meaning of those things, and those are very hard to find in corpora. This is like, those are, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's really hard, right? So basically a fieldwork method works. I mean, it's more efficient, at least in a way that you don't, you will get what you're interested in. So I'm not sure whether I answered your question or not. You're unmuted.
Yes, thank you. Of course, you've answered. It actually brought another idea that I have, and it's a very well-known thing that corpus is just a collection of positive evidence. And you were asking with this elicitation for some further negative evidence. Yeah. So on a higher level of organization, this actually brings me to the idea of Google Maps and driving. So I assume that Google is sending some of the people in the slightly suboptimal route just to test it. And if we had a system, a chatbot, which would on purpose create like suboptimal formulations, and if we had done some feedback from the users, that would be the device that you would need.
Yeah. That sounds like a cool idea. Yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah. So basically that's actually what people experiment with children do.
So maybe in a couple of years.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This
so
is like, because those
we will have the environment.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's really exciting. Yeah. Because that's actually, if you can, you know, it's like automize something that, you know, researchers do, because most of the experiments with children I talked about, it's like one of the procedures which they would introduce children in an environment in which was controlled in such a way that you would violate something, right? Mm-hmm. And see whether children react or not. So you actually, you know, I mean, it's like that's so if you can if you can do a bot that does that, that would be a super exciting source of evidence, I think. Yeah,
so that's a source of inspiration for other colleagues of at our department. Hopefully they are listening, the on those who generate text. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. So maybe is there some more question? I can't see any. So Martin, thank you once more for this talk. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but still it was somehow feasible to follow. So thank you so much. Thank you for accepting the invitation and see you some.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me and having me. Yes, and yeah, we survived it. So it was
okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.